So question is on or in. Puja Gurudev, in one of his messages, mentions, and I thought I would expand on that. He says, we spend a lot of time and money on our children. And that is good. We need to. You need to buy them clothes and send them to school and pay for their college and take care of their needs, healthy food and all that. So a lot of effort is spent, but how much time are we spending in our children? On our children we do, but do we spend time where we sit and teach them values, teach them good qualities, teach them to make their inner child better? The outer child, yes, you know, we take him for tennis lessons and singing and music and dance. And but how much time do we telling him about who he is and what is the goal of life? What is the purpose? Why are we all here? And ultimately, what is in an individual is more important than what is outside. Outside, I may be very wealthy, prosperous, you know, a lot of property. But inside, if I'm not happy, if I'm not peaceful, then no matter how much wealth I have, I'll not be happy. And on the other hand, if I'm peaceful inside, it doesn't matter whether I have anything or not. That's what we see in the lives of these saints. They had nothing. If you look from worldly standpoint, they were poor. They had really nothing personally, but still they are so happy. Why? Because they had worked on their inside. Not only for children, but we also need to learn this. And the children, I think Gurudev had this idea of starting Bal Vihar, which was a wonderful project where he said that the children need to be strengthened inside and they need to be given a knowledge of their culture and faith, and which is going on all over the world in the mission centers. And we need to do the same thing for ourselves. And we notice that we do a lot for spending time and money on ourselves, on making my body healthy and on making my retirement secure, and for my entertainment, playing golf and music and karaoke and all those things we are doing for the outside. And that is good. There's nothing wrong with that. But more important is, what am I doing to make me strong inside, to improve my inside? And that is the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna doesn't talk about, tell Arjuna how to be a better warrior, how to shoot better, or how to govern the country better. All that he has already learned from his teachers. But Arjuna was shattered because inside he didn't have the right knowledge. He was crushed. He was totally disillusioned. So the knowledge, the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita are meant to strengthen Arjuna, and through Arjuna, he's speaking to all of us. Arjuna was just an excuse, bahana mil gaya unko, but he ultimately wanted to use this opportunity to teach each and every one of us how to strengthen the inside, who I am inside, how to develop more values, how to develop a firm faith in God, how to get the right knowledge, how to get the inner peace and silence, so that no matter what the world does to us, I can withstand it. And that is the benefit of this knowledge, that it strengthens us inside. It's not going to tell us how to improve our 401k or how to, what stocks to buy, or it's not going to improve my golf game or my piano or my, but it is going to strengthen me inside. And that ultimately is what we all need to do. And that is strengthen who I am. In fact, recently I was talking to somebody and he was saying he's going to be traveling 2 weeks. I said, where are you going? He said, oh, I'm going to visit this country, this country, this country. I haven't seen these countries and I'm going to visit. I said, that's very good. I said, so that's on your bucket list. It's in your bucket list. He said, yeah, that's on my bucket list. I want to visit so many countries. In fact, I had a friend in Rotary many years ago who had visited all the 140 countries of the world. Every smallest country even he has seen, Liechtenstein. I mean, he knew countries that even I didn't know. So that's good. And then I was thinking to myself, what is on my bucket list? What do I have? And then I thought to myself, I said, how does it matter whether I see the Great Wall of China or not? How is it going to improve me? So I said, you know what I have on my bucket list, to know Brahman. Before I drop this body, let me know God, let me realize. And that, at least for me, is the most important thing. Yes, you have to take care of your children and spend time with your grandchildren, take care of your patients, go to work. I'm not saying all that. But the ultimate goal of every one of us should be on my bucket list. Before I drop this body, I should know God. So that knowledge can only come when I know whether am I this individual jiva or am I the self? Am I the perceiver, feeler, and thinker? Or am I Om? I am the consciousness. For those who are new in this chart, body, mind, and intellect is my equipment. I have a body to perceive objects, the mind to feel emotions, and the intellect to think thoughts. And vi or vasanas are my tendencies, my habits, which propel me to do good or bad actions. And Om is God, God's presence in our heart. And God is in every one of us as Om or as Jesus or as Buddha or Krishna or Shiva. But it is the Lord, the consciousness within. And so the whole struggle in life is, am I this individual jiva or am I Om? And that is what we will be talking about today in the second chapter. So far in the first chapter and in the first 10 verses of the second chapter, we see Arjuna's grief. Why? Because he saw his grandfather, his teacher, he saw his cousins, uncles, and he immediately said, I am going to fight. So this I came in there, the little ego, that it is because of me there will be so much destruction, so many people will die, there will be so much young men will be killed, the wives will become widows, there will be corruption of the women, the family traditions will be destroyed, the ancestors will not be taken care of. And as a result of all this, he was not only intellectually confused, mentally shattered, but even physically, he became incapable of doing his duty. See, he had willingly come there because he knew that the Kauravas were unjust. And so he had come to punish them. He had come to reclaim what was justly his. Nobody forcefully brought him to the battle. But then when he's there, he forgets his duty. He forgets why I am here. And his mind gets deluded. So in the beginning of the second chapter, Krishna first whips him. He says, from where has this depression come? It's not worthy of you. You are a great warrior. You belong to the Aryan race. And it is going to make you infamous. People are going to laugh at you. Why are you doing this foolish thing? And he says, you are acting like a coward. You're acting like an impotent. Your mind is mentally weak. Get up and fight. So he whipped him 2 or 3 times, almost insulting him. He thought maybe that will wake him up from, because he was sitting on the chariot with his head in his hands, his bow down, and I cannot work. Didn't have any effect on him. He again turns around and says, how can I fight these great souls, Drona and Bhishma? They are my teacher and they are my grandfather. I should be worshipping their feet instead of shooting arrows at them. And then he says, this sorrow that is drying out my senses, that means even I can't see, I can't hear, I can't think, I don't see any solution. Not only this kingdom that I'm fighting for, Krishna, even if you give me all the three worlds, heaven, earth, and hell, all of the three worlds, if I become the ruler, still this sorrow will not leave me. So at this point, Krishna realizes that what he needs is knowledge. And so from the 11th verse, the teaching of the Bhagavad Gita starts. And in fact, Shankaracharya, who has written a bhashya on the Bhagavad Gita, Shankaracharya, of course, is our great teacher, who re-established Vedanta in India and made 4 centers of excellence, the 4 mathas. He starts his commentary from the 11th verse. So the first whole chapter and the first 10 verses are introduction, they are giving us the setting why the Lord is giving this message. And it's very interesting. See, normally when a student goes to a teacher, the teacher starts from basics. Suppose some math problem is not clear or some physics problem is not clear. So first he will go to the fundamentals, you know, start from the basics and make sure his basics are clear. Then go up and up, and finally he'll solve his problem. And also in school, we find children from, as they go from grade to grade, you know, their knowledge increases. But here Krishna does the opposite. He starts first with the highest knowledge. He says what he needs is to remove his ignorance. So the first few 8 or 10 shlokas are the highest knowledge, which is the exact summary of the entire Upanishads. In fact, Ishavasya Upanishad is the one of them that is, and then Katha Upanishad was very widely quoted by Krishna throughout his Bhagavad Gita. Katha Upanishad is where he has borrowed maximum verses. So the first few verses are the highest knowledge, and that's what we'll be doing first. And it may seem that it is little beyond or not practical, and it's okay. You know, even if you feel that it is not, the same ideas will be repeated over the next 10 or 12 verses. So even if today things are not clear, they will become clearer as we go along. And then after he has given him the highest knowledge, then Krishna talks to him about his duty and why as a warrior and about birth and death and so on. And he comes down. So it's a very inverted method of teaching. But I think mainly he wanted to shock Arjuna. He wanted to remove his ignorance with a shock treatment. And that is what the first few verses of the Bhagavad Gita are. So let us start with verse number 11. Chapter 2, verse number 11. Those who don't have these books, I would suggest you buy them. We have all the 18 chapters available in the office. That way, not only you can follow what we are doing, but also you can read at home, because just listening one time is not enough. I think we all need to do swadhyaya, self-study. So reading at home will give us more wisdom. So let us start with the verse 11, chapter 2. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Ashochyananvashochastvam, Prajñāvādāṁśca bhāṣase, Gatāsūnagatāsūṁśca, Nānuśocanti paṇḍitāḥ. So the Lord said, he said, let me remove his ignorance. So he says, you are grieving. You are sorrowful? He says, yes. He says, what are you sorrowful about? So Krishna tells him, Ashochyan anvashochastvam. Ashochyan means that which should not be grieved over. Shoka means grief. So that which should not be grieved over, anvashochastvam. You are grieving over that which we should not grieve about. He says, really? He says, all these people are going to die. I should not grieve over them. He says, no, they are not to be grieved over. But you are grieving over what you should not grieve. On top of that, not only are you doing the wrong thing, but prajna vadamscha bhashase. You are talking, prajna vadam means like a wise person. So you are talking like a wise person. And as we saw in the first chapter, he's giving advice to Krishna. Why this war is bad, what will happen to society, and what is the dharma shastra say, and what is manu. So all those knowledge he's trying to give to Krishna. So he says, you are talking like a wise person, but your actions are otherwise. You're talking like a wise person, but you are grieving over what should not be grieved over. Why? He says, why should I not grieve over people dying? So Krishna says there are two kinds of people in this world. He says two kinds, all the 7 billion, yes. All the 7 billion fit into two categories, not male and female. But he says there are two categories of all beings, past, present, future, even those who were, are and in the future. What are those? Gatasun, Soon means breath, pranas. Gata soon means those whose breath is gone. That means pranas are gone. That means who is dead. Gata soon, agata soon. Those whose pranas are not yet gone. So there are only two classes of people, those who are dead and those who are not yet dead. So our grandfather, great-grandfather are dead and we are not yet dead. Yes? There's no doubt. I mean, the person who is born is bound to die. So that's all. Everybody in this universe is either dead or not yet dead. Sooner or later will die. Maybe 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. How long will you live? Up to 100? Then what? You will go. Na anu shochanti. Shochanti means grief. Anu shochanti means continuously, repeatedly grieving. Anu is a very important word. We'll talk a little bit about anu in the commentary. Anu means when it's a prefix, when it is added to a verb, it means continuously or repeatedly. So, panditaha. What is a pandit? Pandit is a very interesting word. In Vedanta, pandit means one who has panda. What is panda? Panda is prajna, has wisdom, has right knowledge. Such a person is called a pandit, so a wise person. But in the world, we use pandit as a title, right? Pandit Ravi Shankar, Pandit Bhimsen Joshi. So somebody who is a great accomplishment in his or her field is called a pandit. But here, the used word of pandit is a wise person or an enlightened person or a wise. So he says, a wise person does not grieve over those who are gone or those who are not yet gone. He says, no, does not grieve. No, he says, does not continuously or repeatedly grieve. So this commentary, this verse needs a lot of commentary. I may not even be able to do the next verse because I'm planning to spend a lot of time. Actually, the commentaries I have listened to, most of them have spent a whole hour on this verse. So hopefully we'll be able to cover it. So the point is that Arjuna says that Bhishma and Drona will die. They will perish. And they are my respected elders, my teacher. I said, okay, you are grieving. Yes. So are you grieving over Nitya or Anitya? Nitya means permanent, Anitya means temporary. So are you grieving over temporary or are you grieving over permanent? And there are three aspects to an individual. One is the Om, the life principle, the consciousness. One is the body, the male or female. And then the mind or intellect, which is called the subtle body, which is the jiva, the individuality. Because each one of us is distinguished by our mind and intellect. The body has some few differences, but we all basically have the same human body, the heart, lungs, brain, kidneys. Yes, there may be some differences in skin and face, but the body is the same. The Om, the Atman, the consciousness is the same in all of us. It's not that God is less in a saint or more in a sinner. He is the same everywhere. So God is the same, is one, and is there in every one of us. So what distinguishes me from him and her is my emotions and my thoughts, my ideas, my emotions and my desires, my vasanas. So this packet, mind, intellect and vasanas, which is called the subtle and the causal body, is what is the individuality, which in Sanskrit is called the jiva or called the jivatma. Now the word atma is confusing. I'd like to clarify that because people kind of use it in two different contexts. One is atma is the om, the consciousness, the self, which is eternal, which is permanent. But sometimes they say, oh, Bhagwan uski atma ko shanti de, may Lord bless his soul. When they say atma in that context, what they mean is jivatma, because the body is perished. Nothing happens to Om, the consciousness. It is this jivatma, this jiva, which goes into heaven or hell based on my actions and then continues the journey, takes another body. And we'll talk a little bit about reincarnation if we have time today, otherwise next week. Why? What is the proof of reincarnation? How can we prove that reincarnation? I have some points on that from Gurudev's commentary. So this jiva, which is also called jivatma or atma, should not be confused with the atman, the self. So that help, is that clear to everybody? So when we say Bhagwan unki atma ko shanti de, it's not atma, is not the om that needs shanti, but it is the mind and intellect when that person dies. So that is called the jiva or the jivatma. So he says, are you trying for the atma, the self? No. That is nitya, that is permanent, nothing is going to happen. So there's no use crying for the soul, for the self, the consciousness. Are you crying for the body? Yes, I'm crying for my body. You know, my dear and beloved ones will go away. I will lose them. He said, but the body is anitya. It is temporary. It is born to die. This was a song, right? Or a movie, Born to Die. We're all born to die. The day of your birth and the day of your death is already written. So there is no doubt about it. So you, even a 2-year-old child, one day will become, you know, old and perish. So if the body is going to perish, what is there to have shoka? Why should you cry about the body? The body is bound to go. And we'll talk a little bit about that later on also. He says, oh, no, 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 no. Okay, I'm not crying about the body. I'm crying about the jiva, the mind and intellect, because Drona and Bhishma are such great souls. And we respect Drona and Bhishma not for their body, but for their brilliance. Drona was a brilliant teacher. Bhishma was a great, not only a great warrior, but a very evolved soul. He had done so much sacrifice, done so much for... So I'm crying for them, for their soul, for their jivatma. He says, but what is there to cry? You say they are noble people, right? Yes, they are very noble people. So when they go, where are they going to go? They're going to go to heaven. They're not going to suffer. They will drop the body, go to heaven. And then the next life they get will be even better because they have done so much good in this life that there is nothing to fear about, nothing to worry about. Their life will be good, will be even better. He says, no, 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 but I'm worrying about the evil people. See, now he changes. He says, not only I'm worried about, how about what will happen to these evil people? You know, they have done so much evil. All these Kauravas standing, and when they die, they will suffer. Krishna says, look, there was a saying in our ancient tradition that a warrior who dies in the battlefield doing his duty automatically goes to heaven, no matter what bad karmas he has done. That's number one, that they will all go to heaven. He said, no, 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 I don't believe in that. They are so wicked that there is no way they will go to heaven. They will go to hell. So I worry about them. You know, how will they suffer in hell? So Krishna says, what is hell? Hell is a washing machine. Just as when our clothes are dirty, we put it in a washing machine, spin it with a lot of force, and the clothes are hammered and beaten. And then they come out, and then they are dried, and then they are pressed and ironed, and they are ready new. They're ready to be worn again, no matter how dirty the clothes are. So hell is like a washing machine. They'll go there, they will be washed, they will be ironed, they will be pressed and sent again in a little baby's form, ready to continue his journey. So what is to mourn about? Whether a person is evil or a person is good, the end result is going to be good. There is nothing to be mournful about. And of course, we'll talk a little more because people will say, no, 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 no. How can you not mourn? Suppose my mother passes away. Should I not mourn? So we'll address that. I know that is everybody's question. So let us start with a little higher knowledge. What is the difference between non-apprehension and misapprehension? Gurudev talks about it. Can you tell me the difference between non-apprehension and misapprehension? Yes.
Misapprehension is
worse. Yes. So he has answered it. Non-apprehension is not understanding correctly, and misapprehension is as a result of not understanding, I project a wrong understanding upon it. So not knowing the truth, I project something upon it. And of course, in our scriptures, they always talk about this rope and the snake, which many of you have heard, but just for those who are new, the example Shankaracharya ji popularized, and also even before that, is that in the dark evening, when it is not yet fully dark, it is the twilight where the day is ended and the night has just begun, and you can barely see the shadows, and there is a rope line, and you are walking through the forest, through the woods. But you don't see the rope as a rope because it is dark. You just barely see a shape and you think it's a snake. So not seeing the rope as a rope, you project a snake upon it. So non-apprehension of the snake results in misapprehension. I'm sorry, non-apprehension of the rope results in misapprehension of the snake. So you have projected a snake upon a rope, and then you get afraid. Oh, this is a snake. How about if it is poisonous? And if your foot accidentally touches, you say, oh, I was bitten by a snake. You go into shock. Some people faint. And oh, they start crying. There's a snake. There's a snake. There's a snake. And then a wise person comes and says, wait a minute. What are you crying about? He said, can't you see this long, poisonous cobra? He said, this is nothing. He shines a flashlight. It's a rope. And then all of a sudden, your ignorance is gone. Then the snake disappears. So similarly, all of us are that Om, that Brahman, the consciousness. All of us are that. But living in this world as the body, mind, and intellect, or the perceiver, feeler, and thinker. So I think myself to be this body, mind, and intellect who is perceiving, feeling, thinking. But not knowing I am that Om, I project this idea that I am this body and I am limited. Not only I am, but they are all bodies. So I am a body, she is a body, he is a body, and they are all individual bodies. And so I have to compete with him, I have to beat her, I have to win, I have to acquire. But if we see all of us as Om, all of us as consciousness, Brahman, and that is true apprehension. And when that happens, then A, there is no competition because everybody is me. Everybody is that one. And that is what the saints could see, the oneness in all of us. Not only that, but then I also lose my limited ignorance that if I might, what happens to my body if I die? My mind is suffering, my intellect is confused, my body is hurting. He says, that is not me. I am the Om, the Brahman, the consciousness. This body, mind, and intellect are my equipment, just as a car is my equipment. If my car breaks, what do? I go get a new car. So when the body drops, I'll go pick up a new body. So what is there to cry about? So not knowing my true nature as Atman, I think myself to be the Jiva, and that's why I cry. Now I'll just stir a few more points in this shloka. Actually, there is a lot of points. So one is East and West. Ramakrishna Paramhansa very beautifully says, he says, if you want to go East, do not go towards the West. And a lot of us do that. It's like somebody is living in Chicago and wants to go to New York, but he starts going West. Now where will he end up? Los Angeles. And why does he do that? Either he's confused. He doesn't know the difference between East and West. Instead of going East, he goes the wrong way. Or he knows it is East and which is West, and he deliberately goes the wrong way. So in our life also, we know what is right. Either we say, I don't know what is right, and that's why we do the wrong thing. That is one. But the majority of us know what is right, and we still do the wrong thing. So the point is that if you want to go East, but you start going West, you will never reach your destination. So that's why Ramakrishna Paramhansa says that do what you are supposed to do. If you know what is right, that's why he tells him, Prajna Vadamscha Bhashase. You talk wisdom, but you act ignorant. You say you want that you know everything, but your actions are contrary. So he says, learn what is right. And then alone, or you are deliberately doing the wrong thing. Then question is of duty. See, Arjuna's duty was, he was a warrior and he was here to destroy evil. So he is not doing his duty. Now, why do people not do their duty? To give an example, say I work in an office and my superior, my boss, the manager or the CEO of the company, not the CEO, but say the manager or the vice president, gives me some wrong instructions that there's something to do which is illegal or unethical, which is cheating. So what do I do? One is, if I think I am a subordinate, I am a under low employee, he says, boss is telling me, I just do it. It's my, he has told me. So anything wrong, it is his problem. I am not, I got the instructions. I know it is wrong, but I am identifying, I'm saying I'm a subordinate. So it's not my, not where's my job to interfere. If something is happening wrong, let it happen. So that is one. I think I'm a subordinate. Second is, I think I'm a householder. You know, I have a wife, I have children to take care of. And if I don't do what the boss tells me, I'll get fired. And if I get fired, then I, you know, lose my job, and then I won't have money to feed my family. So it's okay. Even though I know it is wrong, it is unethical, I'll just do it for the sake of the family. So I, either as a subordinate or as a householder, I'm doing the wrong thing. But if I think that I am a responsible citizen of this country, or I'm a spiritual being, then I cannot do the wrong thing. Because it is wrong for the country and it is wrong for my own spiritual growth. So then what I will do, I will try to either talk to the boss or maybe even talk to his superior. Or if it comes to it, I'm ready to resign the job, but I won't do the wrong thing. Or as much as possible, try to fix the situation. So duty depends on where you identify. If you think you are a subordinate, or if you think you are a householder, or if you think you are a citizen of the country or a spiritual being. And then Arjuna had two problems, shoka and moha. Shoka is grief and moha is delusion. He was deluded, and because of deluded, he was crying, he was sitting on the chariot with his bow fallen, his limbs were shaking, his tears were coming down his eyes, his voice was choked, and his hair was on end, and he said, I just cannot think, even my sense, I cannot even see clearly. And why did that come? Because of ignorance. One is ignorance of his duty. Even though he knew his duty, he had temporarily forgotten. And secondly, the ignorance that I am the consciousness and everybody is that consciousness, so nobody can die. See, the body may perish, the mind and intellect, the jiva, will continue its journey. It's not going to die. The individual does not die. The body perishes. The mind and intellect will continue its journey. In fact, they say to become a human being, you have to go through 8.4 million births. 84 lakh yoni, 8.4 million births. My jiva has gone through. So that many billion of years I have been living. I started as a stone, and then I became a plant, and then I became an animal and fish and bird and animal and human and all. So this jiva has been going through countless births and will continue to go through countless births after my death. When does the jiva journey end? When the jiva becomes one with Om. When he understands that I am that consciousness, and his ignorance ends. That is only when the jiva's journey ends. Otherwise, you go through punarapi jananam, punarapi mananam, maranam, Shankaracharya says. So the solution for avidya, for ignorance, is jnanam, is knowledge. Solution for ignorance is knowledge. In Arjuna's case, Krishna was the Lord. He could have changed the whole situation where everything would have gone right for the Pandavas. With one stroke, the entire Kaurava army he could have destroyed. He didn't do that. He didn't change the circumstances. He gave him the right knowledge. And as we know, there's a story about Karna. Karna, as you know, was a very noble character in the Mahabharata, but he was on the wrong side. He was on the side of the Kauravas. And that's why he was, even though not wishing to do, he was on the side of evil. And he knew that. And he said, I'm doing wrong things. I'm supporting Duryodhana, who is evil. And so I will go to hell. He knew that. And why did he do that? There's another story. When Draupadi was, there was Draupadi Swayamvar, he wanted to compete when Arjuna won that and got Draupadi. And he wanted to compete, and Draupadi said, because he was, even though he was their older brother, Pandavas, that's a long story, but he was adopted by a Sarthi, by a horse charioteer. So he says, He is not a Kshatriya. He cannot compete. So he was insulted by the Pandavas. And because he was insulted, Duryodhana accepted him, gave him a kingdom. So Duryodhana honored him. So he said, Duryodhana took care of him when I was down. So I have to be with him, whether he's doing right or wrong. So he says, but why am I supporting this war? Because he says, when he meets Bhishma, Bhishma tells him, why are you supporting? He says, because I know that only way I can go to heaven is die in battle. See, I had said earlier, a soldier, if he dies in battle, will go to heaven. And he says, I know I am doing wrong, but it is because of my wrong understanding. Talking about heaven, there's this story. So there was this priest who was walking on the street and going to the post office to buy stamps. And he actually was new in the town. He didn't know where the post office was. And then there was a young little boy, about 10, 12 years. He says, Sonny, stop here, come here. Can you tell me where the post office is? So now there are three things wrong with this story, which has to be in the past. Nowadays, nobody walks, right? Our kids, even if they want to go a few miles, they Uber. They have a car sitting in the garage. Oh, it's only $5, Dad, it's Uber. So nobody walks. Secondly, nobody asks for directions. Everybody. And thirdly, nobody goes to the post office to buy stamps. Everything is email. Anyway, so there are three things. But that's why this story had to be a long time ago. So the priest asked this young boy, he says, Sonny, can you tell me how I can go to the post office? So he looks at him, he's the father. He says, Father, just walk down the street. You see that next traffic light, from this traffic light, go to the next light. Make a right turn, two blocks, and you will reach the post office. Oh, thank you very much, son. Then he says, do you go to church? You know, father was new, so he was trying to get people to come to his church. He says, do you go to church? He says, Father, I don't. He says, you should come to church. He said, why? You know, he's a teenager, 10, 12 years old. Why should I go to church? Father says, I will teach you how to go to heaven. So he says, Father, you don't even know the way to the post office. How are you going to tell people how to go? So the way to heaven is to do the right thing. And that is what Krishna is telling Arjuna, do what is right. Now the important, very important word in this shloka is Anu, Anu Shochanti. Anu means continuously. Repeatedly, Anu is an adverb. When it is applied, that's what it. Anu, of course, has a lot of meaning. If you open the Sanskrit dictionary, it has about 40 meanings. But the one that applies here is continuously or repeatedly. Now, somebody says, my mother passed away. I shouldn't grieve. You're saying, oh, either he's gone or not yet gone. Or some other, my friend, you know, their mother passes away. And I go say, you know, there is nothing to grieve about. Everybody is gone or not yet gone. He says, no, you can't do that. You feel sad. Don't we feel sad when? Yes, he says, yes, we feel sad. But the point is continuously, repeatedly grieving. Because our scriptures say there are 13 days given for grieving. 13 days, yes, you are allowed to grieve. You are allowed to cry. You are allowed to be miserable. After that, you ask the soul, you please go on your spiritual journey and you get on with your life. It does not mean you forget the individual, but you do not continuously cry and moan. And actually, this is a true story. A lady came to me as a patient. And as I was getting her history, I was talking about her stomach problems. She started crying, loudly crying. Oh, so I said, what's wrong? What happened? I didn't say anything. All I asked you was, how's your stomach? She says, no, I'm remembering my mother. I'm crying because my mother passed away. So I said, oh, really? I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to hear that. When did that happen? I thought maybe it happened last week or something. She says, my mother passed away 13 years ago. So I said, 13 years ago and she's still crying? You know, I mean, and do you expect anybody to live forever? Your grandparents didn't live, great-grandparents live, parents will not live, I will not live. So what is to cry continuously? Yes, for a short while you have grief and then you. And also they say that if you continuously, excessively grieve over somebody who has died, and if you are very close to them, that soul gets bound and cannot leave because the soul is supposed to be your mother or your spouse or somebody you were very close to, and you really cry and cry and cry and so much that that soul feels sorry that look at this person, I'm so close. So he or she gets attached and is not able to leave. So they become actually a ghost or a spirit. So they say that when the 13 days are up, you say, you know, please go on. I know I miss you. I'm sad, but I have to go on with my life. How long am I going to cry and what is the purpose? There was another lady who came for her daughter had died several months, her granddaughter had died several months ago. And she was day and night crying. When I met her, her eyes were red and her vision was bad because she had been crying and crying and crying and crying. I mean, what is she accomplishing? She's only making herself more sick, making her eyes bad. Her eyes were red and swollen and tears. And is it helping anybody? No. So the point is that death is mandatory and everybody is going to die. So you feel sorry, you miss that individual, but as the time goes, you move on with your life. And in the world, there are many examples. Let us come to the world. Let us forget about death and birth and all. So now suppose the parents buy a balloon for a child. Now, as far as the balloon is concerned, the parents are enlightened. They are enlightened masters because they know what is born is bound to die. This balloon is created in 2 or 3 days, it is bound to burst. So there they are very enlightened. Whether they have studied Gita or not, they know very well. But the child is the one who is very attached. My balloon, my balloon, my balloon. And he's playing with it. And then one day it pops, you know, 2 days later, he starts crying. And the father tells him, son, this balloon was created, it was bound to perish. So when it comes to the balloon, we are very wise. But when it comes to this balloon, look at this balloon. This body is filled with air, just as a balloon. And soon as the balloon gets a hole, the air leaks out. So we have so many holes. We have 11 holes, the eyes, the nose, the ears, all these holes. And it's a wonder the air doesn't leak out. And one day if it does, what is to shoka isme kya hai? What is to cry about? This balloon will bound, one day will pop. This balloon of this body, just as the child's balloon popped in 2 days, my balloon may pop in 10 years or 20 years. So it's going to happen. So accept death cheerfully. Accept death gracefully. Death is not something to be cried about. Death is a new birth. Because this individual is now going on to a new existence. And same thing for me. If I have lived a good life, done good, this death is nothing to be afraid of. Why? Because where am I going to go? My mind and intellect is going to go to a better world and then continue the journey. Oh no, but I will miss my children and my grandchildren. Who said you were going to live forever? So accept that. So death is not something to be feared about. This word called shoka and shock. So shoka, actually there is a very beautiful song. You know, when things go wrong, like people accumulate wealth. First, he was poor. He didn't even put a lock on his door. But when he got money, he puts a lock and then he has security system. Why? Because my money one day can get stolen. So once you have money, you are expecting it to get stolen, right? That's why you put the lock and the alarm. And suppose one day you forget to put the alarm and the burglar comes and takes everything. That's why you had put it, because you knew one day it will be stolen. So why is there to be mournful about? It's okay. It was not mine. I had temporarily had it. It's gone. It's okay. I'll accumulate more. I probably owed this person something. Somebody cheats you. Somebody takes away your money instead of crying about. And we all have had that. It's something I must have either owed him in his past life. I must have taken from him. So I gave it to him. Or if he has stolen from me, in some future life, he will pay it back. So I have in my bank. So either way, loss of money should not be anything to worry about. It's okay if it happens. Not that you are careless, but even it happens, despite all your precautions, nothing you can do. Same thing, people buy stocks. And they know that stocks will go up and will go down. When they go up, we are happy. And when they go down, people commit suicide. You know, when the crash of 2004 So many people commit, but when you put your money in stocks, you knew that it is not a stable investment. And one day it will go down, so what is to be cried about? But what we do is we have got so attached to sorrow. He says, shok ka shock ho gaya hai. Swami Tejo Mahananda ji, those who understand Hindi, we have become addicted. We start enjoying our sorrow, and then people come and ask us, how are you? Say, I am so miserable. What happened? You know, I have this problem. And then we go and tell 10 people, 20 people, all our problems and our miseries. And we go crying. And because why? Because we love that sympathy. It's like a child. You know, a child, if he falls, a wise mother, if she, oh, beta, kya hua? What happened? What? Then he'll cry more. So you pretend you haven't heard and you just walk on. And so the child will do that. And he said, nobody's listening. He'll get up and start running. So wise mother knows that do not make too big a fuss, because the more you fuss, the more he will cry. So similarly, life, don't worry about it. There's a very beautiful song. It says, barbadiyon ka shok manana fazool tha, barbadiyon ka jashan manata chala gaya, har fikr ko dhuen mein udata chala gaya. He says, barbadiyan, these tragedies that come in life, why do you feel sorrowful about them? Enjoy your tragedies too. Barbadiyon ka jashan manata. He says, celebrate your sorrows. Because in life, there will be joys and sorrows. Watch it and say, look at this life, how interesting it is. One day I had joy, now I have sorrow. But I am different. And watch the world. Also, you see the people, how they foolishly get so depressed and get so stressed out. And then when they are happy, they are up in the sky. Whatever is gone up will come down. If stocks are up, one day they will come down. If somebody is sorrowful, one day happiness will come. Neither joy lasts forever, nor happiness lasts forever. So watch the play. You know, that's what Shakespeare said. This world is a play and we are all actors. So watch this world like a drama, like a music, like a play, like a theater. And do not get too attached, and sorrows will come. Actually, Edison, there is a very beautiful story about Edison, who was the inventor of the light bulb and lot of, and one time it so happened, this lab which he had spent a lot of time and money to build up, beautiful lab where he had done all his inventions, the lab caught fire. And it so happened those days, you know, you couldn't call 911 and the fire department would take hours for, you know, anybody to show up. And he knew that this lab is going to burn in about next 10, 12, 15 minutes. He's not going to survive. So what does he do? His house was next door. He goes, comes and calls his wife. He says, come here, come here. She says, what? He says, you see this fire? You're not going to see a scene like this again. Such a beautiful fire. Look. And so he actually laughed at the destruction. You and I would be crying, my lab, and trying to save. He said, it's useless. It cannot be saved. So enjoy the, watch the spectacle. Have you ever seen fireworks like this? Because all these chemicals, bloom, bloom, they were exploding. And it was a great fire. He says, come, you will never see something like this. So that is how one should be. Do not let tragedies get you down. Do not become Arjuna. And people say, Lord Rama also cried. Didn't he cry? As we know the story of Ramayana, when Lord Rama was going to the forest, a messenger came and gave him the news that your father had passed away. And why did his father die? Because of heartbreak. Because he had such a big shock that my son had to go to the forest for 14 years, and he took his brother and his wife. All three of them have gone because of my promise, which I made to my wife. To honor my promise, my children have gone to the forest for 14 years. And because of that shock and grief, he died. So people came and told Rama, look, you know, you were going to the forest for your father. Yes, your father has passed away. So the promise is no longer valid. So come back. So Rama cried. But why did he cry? Because of love and reverence for his father. And that is not natural, because somebody he's so attached to. But he didn't say, oh, I'm so sad. Now let me take my bow and arrow and go back to the Ayodhya and, you know, become the king. No. He didn't say, my bow is falling and my body is shaking. That's the difference between Ram and Arjuna. Ram didn't say, my mind is shaking and my senses are drying and my body is trembling. And no, he kept his resolve. He said, yes, my father has passed away, but his promise I have to keep. Whether my father is there or not, his promise is still valid. So I'm going to go to the forest for 14 years. I'm not going to go back to the palace, to Ayodhya, to light, you know, you have to light the fire. He said, let Bharat do it. Let my younger brother do it, light the fire. My job is to go to the forest. So sorrow comes to everybody. Everybody, even Ram and Krishna and Jesus, and they had so many sorrows, but did they let the sorrow take over them, or did they overcome the sorrow? So that is the message of this verse. And then the last point is that if you become sorrowful, you're not even able to do your duty. Like there's this incident, this story about this boy who was crying. His father said, why are you crying? He says, you know, today I had the exam and I didn't do well. And I think I'm going to flunk in this particular subject, or I'm going to get a low grade. And I was crying. Father said, stop crying. If you keep crying, even tomorrow's test, you won't do well. So when you cry excessively, you are not able to function normally. He said, it's okay, the test is gone. What is the use of crying? You should have either prepared well. If you didn't, it's okay. Now tomorrow's test, at least you have the whole evening. So sit and study. So that is the essence of this verse, that everybody is either gone or not yet gone. Either we are dead or not yet dead. So watch the world and be ready. When it's time for me to die, okay, I have my bags packed. Okay, Lord, you can take me anytime. That's how one should be. I am ready whenever my time has come. And the point is that nobody will die a day before he's destined to. You know, each one of us has certain karmas, prarabdha, which we have to undergo in this lifetime. And when that ends, you will go. Otherwise, we find in plane crash, 200 people die and 2 people survive. Why did the 200 die? Because it was their time to go. And the 2 people survived. Even the plane crash, they survived. Nothing happened, with few scratches. And on the other hand, somebody stepping out of a bathtub just slips, hit his head and dies. Just coming out of the shower. So when the time is come, we all have to go. So do not mourn too much over death. You have a temporary grief. Get over it and move on with your life. Be like Ram. Yes, I'm crying, but I'm crying because I love and revere this individual, but I do not change from my duty. So that is the essence of this beautiful verse. I know I spoke a lot. I hope I was able to, because this needs a little explanation. So I spent some time about it. I hope I was able to remove your fear of death. Really, death is not something to be feared. It is to be welcomed. It's okay. My body is now old. It's time to drop it. Let me go and get a beautiful young body of a baby. What's wrong with that? Nothing. And see, again, this is for myself. It's not to tell others. It's not that somebody's, you know, brother passes away or mother passes away. You don't tell him, you know, you need to come and study the Bhagavad Gita. Ashochyavan, anvashochastvam, pragnya. You don't go and tell him that you are grieving for what has not, because he has not read the Bhagavad Gita. So you console him. I'm sorry, you know, at your loss, and anything I can do to help, maybe take some food or whatever you can do, just hold their hand or, you know, give them a hug or cry with them. But it is for me, when sorrows come to me, how I should handle. So this Bhagavad Gita is not to be taught to somebody else. It is to be applied on myself. And that's what Krishna says, that this knowledge I'm giving you is for you, not for you to go ahead and teach others. I mean, even though I am talking, but I think Gurudev or the Lord has put me in this place, so I'm trying my best to explain it. But the idea is that when you listen, you apply that on yourself. That is the purpose of studying the Bhagavad Gita, that am I that wise? If I'm not, then I need to be. So that is the purpose of us all listening. And whatever I'm speaking is basically commentaries by different acharyas. Swami Tejomayananda, Swami Chinmayananda, Bodhatmananda ji, Ishwarananda. So 3 or 4 acharyas, I try to combine their commentaries and do my best, whatever I can. So any questions or any comments about this verse? I know there's a lot. Or if something you agree or disagree.
Arjuna, he's crying, yes, but he's not crying because young people will die, but he's going to be causing the death of his
love.
Isn't there a difference?
Yes. So that's what Krishna tells him in the 11th chapter. He says, these people are already dead. Maye nihataf purva meva nimitta matram bhava savya sachin. He says, oh, left-handed warrior. He calls Arjun left-handed because he could shoot. He says, all these Kauravas you are seeing, their time has already come. They're within the next 18 days, they are all going to die. Their karmas are over. So if you don't kill them, I'll find somebody else to do my work. So do it as my instrument. Nimitta matram bhava, be my instrument, Krishna tells him. So do your duty, and your duty at this moment is to defend the good, defend the wise, defend the good, defend justice. And who is against you? The people who are evil, who are unjust, who are corrupt, who are immoral. And they need to be eradicated, and the time has come. Even the good people will perish, but their time has come too. Even Arjuna's son died. Now he was, you know, Abhimanyu was a very great soul. So he says, whether you participate in the war or not, the Pandavas are going to win, the Kauravas are going to lose. You have an opportunity to be my instrument. So when he's working, he's thinking, I'm doing it. But if he says, I am an instrument in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord is shooting through me, then there is, he's the one. Let him get all the praise or the blame. In fact, when my mother had started writing, this is very beautiful. She actually wrote a lot of books in her life, and mostly spiritual books. And she used to publish also, encourage others to write. So now, of course, she's 90 years old. But throughout her life, ever since 1960, for almost 50 years, she wrote a lot. So when she wrote her first book, and people praised it, and then she went to her guru, and the guru was brushing his teeth, you know, Datan, he was doing in the olden days. So he says, you wrote a book, huh? So she says, you know, Guruji, whatever knowledge I give. So he says, do not become a writer, become a pen. Lekhak nahi bano, lekhani bano. Means do not get an ego. See, the guru was so wise because he could see that, you know, she's young and maybe she'll get, you know, people are praising, she may get this ego. He says, you didn't write it. You are a writer. You are a pen. The Lord wrote through you. Once you understand, I'm not a lekhak, I'm a lekhani. I'm not an author, I'm the pen. And the Lord is writing through me. Then there is no doership. And when there's no doership, there is no enjoyership. If I do it, then I get the results and I enjoy or suffer. But the Lord did it through me. So I am neither a doer nor an enjoyer. Whatever happens, it is His work. And then there is no grief. See, because they were, it was an important moment in history where the evil had to be removed. It's like, as we have talked so many times, Hitler or these, when these people are there, they have to be removed. So you cannot say, oh, there should be peace. We should not have violence. Same thing. That's what happened to with Chamberlain, with Hitler. You know, he kept trying to make peace with him, and all he did was take more and more land, more and more countries, till finally they had to stop him. So similarly, the Kauravas would have gone on accumulating more wealth and doing more illegal things and immoral things, and so they had to be stopped. So he should be working, but not as Arjuna, but as an instrument of Krishna. The moment he does that, then there is no sin, there is no merit. There is no merit, there is no demerit. There is no heaven, there is no hell. Because I didn't do it. The Lord did it. Of course, that is for good things. When you do something bad, then you didn't say, Lord, do it, so let him get the punishment. If I have done something bad, then I have to fix it. But when I do something good and somebody praises me, I should remember I am just the pen. I am not the author. I am the instrument. So that's why. But that's a very good question. Thank you. Any other point?
How come Krishna didn't display empathy or compassion for the vasanas of the those in battle?
He did. See, originally he had tried. He had gone and talked to them. Let us settle it. Let us divide them in half. And tried to make peace, but they were not ready. In fact, Duryodhana was so evil, he tried to have Krishna killed. He tried to have him imprisoned. And not only that, he went to Krishna only to get his army. So these people were so evil. So what kind of empathy can you have? What kind of empathy can you have for a child molester or a mass murderer or somebody who deliberately Of course, we have good and bad vasanas, but who created the vasanas? God didn't. You and I create our vasanas because of our past actions, either in this life or previous lives. So if I have certain wrong tendencies and I do wrong actions, I cannot blame my parents or my upbringing or my, which people do. Oh, I had the wrong kind of parents, that's why I went and shot 20 people, or my upbringing was bad, or the culture is bad. Or no, once you have done a wrong thing because of wrong vasanas, you have to take responsibility. There may be empathy for such an individual, but he or she has to be punished. So empathy had not worked. Krishna had tried all that and nothing worked. So he had to give him the right knowledge. And for all of us also, empathy only goes up to a point. Unless you have the right knowledge, your suffering will not end. Suffering can only end with knowledge, cannot end with empathy. Empathy is a good virtue, but that's for others. But for myself, I cannot keep on feeling sorry for myself. I have to get up and move on with my life. Crying doesn't solve anything. I don't know, have I answered your question? We can talk afterwards if you want.
Right.
Yes.
So I have this question. Then why did Bhishma Pitama, Dronacharya, Makripacharya, are all those big teachers and were well knowledgeable people?
Yes.
Why were they on the Kaurava side?
Because they had, that's a very good question, because they had lived in Duryodhana's palace for many years. See, because the Pandavas were in the forest for 13 years. 12 years in forest, 1 year in hiding. So they had all lived in Duryodhana's palace. So once you have lived with somebody for 13 years, they could not live with the Pandavas. So then it becomes namakhaya. You know, I have, they have done me favor, so I have to. So they knew they were on the wrong side, but they had no choice. And in fact, even when Draupadi was being molested, they were all sitting, but they were quiet. Because why? Because they could not speak. See, once you have taken favors from somebody, then you cannot oppose that person. Suppose somebody has kept you in his house for many years and taken care of you and given you money and all. Then you cannot turn around and say, I won't do what you say.
But still, they were the teachers. They knew what is right and what is wrong. They would have stopped it, right?
No, they tried. But Duryodhana was not ready to listen. Duryodhana said, I know what is right, but I'm not going to. Of course they tried, but he said, I'm not going to. I am bent upon doing, and all, not only that, he had wrong advice, his uncle and Dushasan and all the 100 Kauravas were all basically evil. So they were not ready, and he was the king. Actually, his father was the king, Dhritarashtra, and he was even more stupid because not only blind, he was mentally attached. So he encouraged his sons to do the wrong thing. So they had no choice. And it was the honor, Kshatriya honor, that once you have taken a favor from somebody, namakhaya hai, you have to do it. You have to serve him. So they did it very reluctantly. Of course, they knew that Krishna is on the other side. There is no way they are going to win. And so they were totally prepared. They said, okay, it's okay. If it's time for everybody to go. They were wise. He said, when my time to go has come, I'll go. So what is to worry about? And the Kauravas will get what they deserve. There is no way they can defeat Krishna. So they knew that they were on the losing side, but they had no choice. Yeah, so then you should resign. Then you should resign. No, they didn't have a choice. The Kshatriya code of honor did not allow them to leave. Once you have worked for 13 years, you had to serve him. Yeah, that was the code of honor. I think she had a question. And then,
yeah. And then again with Pandavas, it was wrong on their side to gamble with.
Yes. Yes.
So why does Krishna doesn't have empathy on?
No. So they only did one bad thing, but otherwise the whole life they have been very good. They were very good, and Yudhishthir gambled, not Bhima or Arjuna. None of them. Yudhishthir had this passion for gambling, but otherwise he was very honest, very sincere,
but
very.
Still, like, that was
the one mistake he made. So people make a lot, and for that they suffered 13 years. For that one mistake of gambling, they spent 12 years in the forest and 1 year in hiding. So they paid their debts. So now they need their kingdom back, right? For that mistake of gambling, they have been punished for 13 years. Not only Yudhishthir, but his four brothers and his wife. So So they have all paid for the one mistake. So everybody is allowed to make mistakes. You cannot keep punishing them for that. So they all they were asking was for their half of the kingdom, which they deserve, which they didn't get. Even he said 5 villages. And they asked, finally, give me 5 villages. He said, no, I'll not even give you an inch of land. So that's how evil he was. Yes, gambling is wrong, but how long can you punish somebody for gambling? Any other question?
Well, it seems to me, I'm not really clear on when, if you know something is wrong, when you should leave. Like, say you work for a company, and maybe they've pushed you through college, and they paid for you to get a master's degree, and they've given you this really good job, and so you have a really nice home, and you have all these things because of this company, but then you start realizing, oh, this company is doing things that are bad for
right.
society. I mean, to me, do you really owe them?
That's a decision you have to make. Because if you don't work, then A, you will lose a job. Or if
yeah.
you continue doing the wrong thing, you might go to jail.
Well,
so then you have, that's a choice.
Maybe
you
won't go to jail because the government is just as corrupt as the company you're working for.
Yeah, that's a different story. Yes.
And so it's
everything, it comes to your own conscience. What does your conscience?
You might lose a good job, you might
yes.
lose your home, but you're still going to have, you know, this college education, and you're going
right.
to be able to get a different job.
Right, right.
It just seems to me, when do you say this is wrong?
I think once you come to know they are doing the wrong thing, that's when you make the choice. The moment you come to know, maybe you in the beginning you didn't know, but once you joined the company, you came to know the wrong thing is happening, at that time you make a choice. Am I going to do the wrong thing or am I going to do the right
thing? Well, then it seems like, you know, Bhishma and Drona, they must not have known.
No, they knew it. But see, the
why didn't they just
no, because the code of honor, see, the Kshatriya code of honor was such, like the knights of, you know, King Arthur's court. They had certain code of honor. And the code of honor was, once you have eaten somebody's salt, you cannot oppose him. You have to support him even with death. They did the wrong thing, but they knowingly went into it. Of course, they knew the Lord of the universe is across from us. They knew that, and they knew they're not doing the right thing. Even Karna knew, they all knew. See, an evil person knows he's doing the wrong thing. That's why he hides and does it. A criminal will not rob a bank in the open daylight. He will hide, rob it in the middle of the night. Somebody's cheating on taxes. They'll do it silently. They're not going to tell the whole world. But if somebody's doing the right thing, he can tell everybody. So a person doing the wrong thing knows the choice is, what does he make the wrong choice or the right choice? I think we are done now. We don't have too much time. Maybe just 1 minute, because I have to go to the hall.
In a defense of Bhishma Pitamah,
right.
I think he also promised his mother they'll take care of the kingdom.
Right.
So he had to fight with the kingdom.
Whoever was the king, yes.
Whoever was the king, doesn't matter what kind of king. So that was just his defense.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha, Sarve Santu Niramayaha, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.